Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello, and enjoy the crackling fire. This is Ms. Melanie, who is not quite at her computer at this point in time, and so you get to hear our opening fire crackling away. Thinking about the fireplace, there on the beach, someplace that's relaxing. Do you enjoy a fire? Take a deep breath. If you did, please do. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. As always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you sharing those sparks to help you create that life you desire and deserve. Tonight we'll be talking about sparks to boost your brain, including sparks to love your brain. If you only have one, right, then we don't know how to do brain transplants quite yet. So until then, are you treating your brain like it's yours for life? But what are some actions that you can take, some choices you can make to boost the performance of your brain and mind? This is fresh in my mind because I've been working on updating and revising Maximize Your Cognitive Capacity full-day seminar that I'm giving tomorrow at the University of Northern Iowa. And their executive development consortium. And it's exciting for me because I have a passion about the brain, how it works, how it learns, how it thinks. And if I can help you to get better performance of your brain, that is indeed my goal. So that you can have your best brain and live your best life because your brain's really working for you. If you thanked your brain lately, you literally said, hey, you know what? I am really grateful to my brain because I can talk. I can walk. I can feel. I can think. I can contemplate. Things and really feel gratitude for what your brain can't do, even if there are some things your brain can't do. Very often we take that for granted. I know I have. And so start with just, feeling grateful and expressing that gratitude. Don't let anybody hear you. The only part that needs to hear you is your brain. But be in that feeling of gratitude for your brain and its health and its performance. So what can you do to boost your brain, to boost its performance? Regular listeners, you know that there are a wealth of things you could choose to do. Goal this week, choose one action, something you can do that supports your brain's function, that helps it to do its best on your behalf, so that it's there when you need it. I was fortunate today to facilitate a learning session that dealt with providing exceptional service when you have upset or difficult clients to deal with. And the first step is to deal with the attitude in your brain and the state of your brain before you can provide service to someone else. Because when you have somebody in your face complaining, yelling, angry about something that your company did or didn't do, or that you did or didn't do, as soon as that information goes into your brain, things begin to happen. And Dr. Caroline Leaf, in her Switch on Your Brain 5-Step Learning Process, has a segment on her DVD that deals with attitude. And in that segment, she talks about what happens at three stages of attitude. I shared that with people today. And what you can do to get involved in that process consciously. Because when the input goes in through your senses, into your brain, through the gateway of your brain, it's then sent out to the outer layer, the cortex, where your memories are stored. And it flashes signals past anything, any memory that is related to your experience, the information coming in, is activated. Not at a conscious level, but the emotions that were stored with that memory are also activated. So if you had a negative experience with something similar, where you were either threatened by an upset or difficult or angry client or customer or member or family member, or they were yelling something similar, all those memories will be activated, and those emotions will be activated as well. The signal goes back to the center of the brain, where the hypothalamus is a chemical factory, secretes chemicals connected to that emotion, and those go through your whole body. Now, before it gets back to that chemical factory, you can intervene. You can, because you'll feel uneasy. You won't be exactly sure why or what's causing the feeling, but you'll have that sense of, ooh, I feel uncomfortable, I feel anxious, I feel whatever it is. And she suggests at that point that you acknowledge the feeling, that say, you know, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling nervous, but I'm going to focus on the member or the client or the customer and give them my full attention. Or when you're learning, in the case that she's talking about, and she uses the example of math and not liking math, that you can be able to say, okay, I've had, you know, I'm thinking I'm having some challenges with math, and so I'm feeling a little nervous. I'm going to focus right now and then be able to move forward. So being able to use self-talk at that point to acknowledge the emotion and bring it to a conscious awareness level, and then to begin to shift the emotion. Once it's in a chemical factory and the chemicals are released, then you're really feeling stressed, or you're feeling the physiological impact. Plus, your brain is also flooded with chemicals in stage two. And during stage two, the message is also communicated to a structure called the amygdala. And she uses a metaphor for the amygdala like a library with books, and that there are perceptions, emotional perceptions, stored in these books. And so when it receives the signals, it'll pull out the book about, oh my gosh, I have an angry customer in front of me, and it will send out that emotion connected to that. So in stage two, again, there's that self-talk acknowledgement of the emotion, because there are molecules of emotion. Dr. Lee says they're like living things, and if we don't address them, acknowledge them, they will volcanically erupt somewhere else. So acknowledge that they're there. You know, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling nervous, and I'm uncomfortable, but, and then you proactively, you're practical about your planning and your action. So I'm feeling nervous, and I'm going to take a deep breath, get some oxygen to the brain, I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to take notes about what the issue is. I'm going to, and then I'll ask questions to clarify the situation and use my training and resources to solve the problem. Or whatever works for you, but to consciously identify the emotion, acknowledge it, or say, you know, I'm really feeling nervous or frustrated or stressed, but I need to focus right now, so I'll deal with it later. It's like closing the book and putting it on the shelf, she said. So
Stage two is remembering to breathe and self-talk and the practical plan. And then stage three is where the information goes into the hippocampus, the surge protector, where it can move to the front part of the brain. Although if there are negative chemicals or stress going on, negative emotion going on, the chemicals that are being sent with the electrical signals can actually block the information. So you're not getting all the information that's coming in from the outside through your senses. It's like, and then it's also not, you're not connecting well, so you aren't able to think clearly. So then also at stage, there's a connection between your amygdala, that library, and the front of your brain, the frontal lobe, that is your reason area. And that takes 18 years to develop, that link between, connection between the amygdala and the basal forebrain. And when you start talking to yourself, using that self-talk, you're actually activating that bridge between the emotion, the amygdala, and the reason in the forebrain. And the goal is to balance the two. And so the sooner you can address this attitude, the state of mind that's happening, and I love the phrase she uses at the very beginning when that first information comes into your senses, into the gateway, through the relay station that's sent out to touch all the memories in your cortex. Because your nerve cells have branches and they look like little trees, she calls it the breeze through the trees. And it's at that stage where you're just becoming aware something is uncomfortable or something's exciting. Whatever that emotion is the time where you want to get involved and conscious, so branch your awareness. If it's a good feeling, like being excited, then you want to go with it. If it's a negative feeling, you want to get involved with changing it. And you do that with your self-talk. And she says even you can do it at stage one, stage two, or stage three. You want to do it before the memory becomes consolidated, because then it's harder to, every time you review that memory or it's pulled out, it reinforces that memory. And she said, though, even if you've got a strong memory, whether it's I can't do math, or anytime you see that upset customer coming, you take a bathroom break, you know, you can, she said, if whether it's been 5 minutes, 5 years, 15 years, you can change that memory, that toxic negative memory. You can work with it. And so she said, if you've made this mess in your brain, your mess in your mind, you can clean it up. There's a process that you can do in 4 days that will allow you to make the shift. And we didn't get into that today. And the important part of that is when you take that attitude, that state of your mind, which truly is a state in your mind, and you can get involved with it in that process, because when you're dealing with someone who's upset, whether that's a customer or a family member, if you get upset too, or you have a negative emotional rush or emotional hijack, which I've talked about before on Spark, when you experience that emotional hijack, that's when you hit stage two and you've been flooded with the chemicals, it's much harder to get yourself moved into balancing reason and emotion. And you can do it with empathizing with yourself, how you're feeling, identifying your feelings, and then ask a question. And that's what we went into once we understood and shared with them what happened to the brain from the information coming in through those three stages of attitude and how that impacts your ability to think clearly, as well as the memories that you connect. And then we focused on the brain of the client or customer and said, you know, now that you've been able to calm yourself, you can be rational, then you want to use empathy in a question with them as well, because they're in emotional hijack very often. And while we want to fix the problem quickly, really what we need to do, and there's another seminar I do called Fix the Brain and Fix the Problem that I facilitate with people. And once you fix the brain, then problem solve. Because as long as you or they are in a state of emotional hijack, it's very challenging to be logical or rational or reasonable. And so one of the ways that you help the brain shift through emotional hijack is for you to remember to breathe and to use an empathy statement to let the other brain know that you're recognizing how it's feeling. And to say something like, it's very frustrating when your shipment doesn't arrive at the time you needed it. And then pause and allow them to say yes or no. Or what. And because if you're wrong, they will let you know what the correct emotion is. And often that acknowledgement going into the brain of, okay, got that there, whatever emotion is. And then you can follow with a question that says, if you can provide some additional information, let's figure out what happened and what we can do to come to a solution for you. So could you tell me what happened? And you ask a question, because once the brain gets a question, it's curious and it wants an answer. So what that does is it helps shift the blood flow from the limbic system, the central part of the brain where you have your amygdala, that emotional library, to the front part of your brain where you have free will and choice and logic and reason. And once you begin to shift from there, people are calmer. And they're ready to hear you process through a solution. So often we want to go right past that negative emotional state, that negative attitude they're experiencing, and go right into problem solving. And if you've ever tried to be rational and reasonable with someone who's extremely emotional, you recognize it rarely works. And so by using that model, being able to say for your own brain, empathize, acknowledge the emotion, ask the question, be practical about, okay, I'm feeling this, but I'm going to put it over here, and what can I do in the moment? Question. Answer the question with a practical action, and now you're helping move for yourself from the emotional imbalance to balancing with reason. And then with that upset person you're talking to, same thing, empathy, question. Empathize, acknowledge how they're feeling about what, and then ask a question which engages different part of the brain to come up with answers. So that was our three-part piece in our hour today. And then practicing with a situation that they experienced, adding an empathy statement and a question, and how that worked for them. So over the course of the next week, they're going to track and practice, and then I'll do a check-in with them in a week to see how that process has worked for them, particularly with themselves first, because so often we focus on how do you work with an angry member. We might say stay calm first, but we don't always get how we can stay calm, which is what I really appreciated about Dr. Leaf's presentation about what happens in the brain, because there are physical changes and chemical changes and electrical signals, and we need to work with that and recognize what's happening in order to move through the process and have a more positive outcome for ourselves than for that upset person that we're dealing with or the person who's in a negative attitude, negative state. And so that's one brain booster for you, is how do you get yourself into a more positive attitude by recognizing it when it's happening. And when you're even on the edge of your conscious awareness, when the signal has come into the brain from the senses that are outside and sent from the relay station into the outer layer of the brain where your memories are, that breeze through the trees. And then you can respond at that point with self-talk. Just, I'm feeling a little uneasy. And I'm going to take a deep breath and focus on the information coming in. And so, again, you can start that early with something that simple, even with self-talk. Find what works for you. That's also important. So, getting yourself into a more calm, positive mental state keeps you able to think clearly, able to take in information more accurately, and then able to process and problem solve and think deeply about what you want to do next. So whether it's in a meeting with your boss, whether you are having a conversation with a parent that's challenging, whatever the situation, you now have a strategy to keep yourself in a more positive state so that your brain can work well for you moving forward. So that's one brain booster. So between now and next week, for those of you who listen regularly, and I hope that if you're listening to me for the first time, that you come back next week. And so try this for a week. Really pay attention to those signals that you're getting. When you're starting to feel uncomfortable or you're feeling excited. It's like, ooh, something good's coming. I'm feeling excited. That reinforces it as well. So, one strategy. How are you eating? That's something else you can do for your brain. Is nutrition and what are you doing for your brain? Are you getting water? Are you getting protein? Are you getting good, healthy fats? Because your brain needs all three of those. It also needs some healthy carbs. It needs energy. It uses a lot of energy, larger percent than the other organs of your body. But very often, we don't drink enough water, and our brain is 75 to 80% water, depending on who you're reading. It's a water environment. It will pull water from all the other systems of your body if it doesn't have enough. So consuming water, being hydrated, will help you and help your brain to function better. Also getting protein, because your brain needs the building blocks of the protein, the amino acids, in order to build the chemicals necessary for function, dopamine to pay attention, and serotonin for that sense of awe. And there are a lot of other chemicals in your brain that need to be built, and they are built from the components of protein. And then good fats, we need omega-3s, because those are the myelin that line each of our nerve cells that insulate it, that allow it to communicate quickly. And so we need to have good fat intake. And so are you eating omega-3s? Are you getting enough fish in your diet? Fish is a great source of omega-3s, the healthy fats that we need. And then our brain also needs vitamins and minerals and that we can't get in our body. We don't make it, so we have to take it in. We need magnesium. We need antioxidants to combat radicals that are in our brains, because they love fat. They're just loose electrons flying around, and they go into the fat. And just like an apple turns brown when it's sitting in the air, that's an oxidation process. Well, that's what happens in our brains with the nerves, that begins to break down. And so we want to keep that from happening. And so antioxidants, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, you'll find antioxidants in dark green vegetables, dark colored fruits, dark chocolate, green teas. You want to have some antioxidants going in there as well. So vitamins, minerals, fats, whole grains are a source of B vitamins. So you want to have whole grains. Nuts are also good sources for your brain. You want to have some balance into your diet and your nutrition. And think about, you want to eat more food that comes from plants and less foods that are processed in plants. So things that are natural, organic, our body knows how to break down and deal with and digest. Things that are processed foods, our body has some trouble with. And when we add chemicals to our body, we make our body work harder. So we need some to be aware of that, that you know, a lot of the processed simple sugars are not good for your brain or your body. So be aware of what you're feeding your brain. And I hope that you're eating breakfast. That's a plus. So two tips, two brain boosters for this week. One on how to choose a positive attitude, how to intervene in those three steps of an attitude, the stages of an attitude in your brain, and then making some healthy choices around nutrition, consciously choosing protein for breakfast, particularly because your body's not had that come in. If you're going to have to pay attention, you're going to need to focus, you're going to need to learn, you want to have had some protein so that it gets in, breaks down into the amino acids that are available for your learning. And one final nutrient I'll talk about is choline. Choline is formed, it's actually in lecithin, breaks down into choline. But you can get choline from sources like wheat germ and eggs and oatmeal, Canadian bacon, ham. A lot of sources that have choline. Choline forms, is part of what forms acetylcholine, which is necessary to form new memories. So if you don't have choline, it's going to be tougher to form new memories. Now, an egg in the morning, great source of choline. Oatmeal, great source of choline. If you don't have wheat issues, my son thinks wheat germ is a secret ingredient in everything because I sprinkle it. It goes in our pancakes. It goes in any muffins that we make. It gets sprinkled on pizza crust. It's one of the highest sources by concentration, by volume, that you can get of choline in wheat germ. You can also sprinkle it into smoothies. If you're interested in protein breakfasts, in on brainbonanza.com, there is a Feed Your Brain a Protein Breakfast by Susan Bauman that's available there. It'll give you some balance between the protein, the carbs, and how to put together a really healthy breakfast for you. And so I hope you've discovered something in our 30 minutes this week that you can use to boost your brain. So try it. Take an action on it. Let me know what happens, because you only truly learn it when you do something with it. So I hope that you choose to do something, to choose a good attitude, and to feed your brain well so that it can do its best for you. Thanks so much for being here. I hope that you come back, bring a friend, and invite you to visit brainbonanza.com to learn more about the resources available to support you. And that's www.brainbonanza.com. Until next time, stay safe and treat your brain like it's yours for life. There's no sounder this week, so take care and enjoy your brain.